This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox Live, and Eric is in here. And KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, is 90.9 FM, 91.9 Islandwide, 92.7 Anahola Moloa'a, and 95.1 FM on cable. Also worldwide streaming at www.kkcr.org. And we have some really interesting guests in the studio today, but first,
the views and opinions expressed on this radio show of those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views, opinions of the station, underwriters, and staff.
All right, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, and I can't underscore how important it is for all of our underwriters and listeners who contribute to make shows like what we have going on today possible. So in the studio, I have Eric.
Hello, guys. Hope you're having a great day.
And Eric, what we'll be talking about a little in a few minutes, like, thank you so much for filming. And you're uploading it right now to YouTube, right? The presentation in Waimea?
As we speak, we got Tyrone Hayes' speech right now uploading to YouTube. I'm uploading them individually, so it's Walter Riddy, Tyrone Hayes, and it was also Lauren Pang. So all three great speeches.
Right. And watching them in order, too, is really important. They all really blended well together. Fern?
Aloha Kauai.
Okay, making sure you're on there. And so she was definitely at the event there and part of Ohana o Kauai, our peaceful militia that is out helping us all out. And you got a lot of knowledge on a lot of things today. Eli?
Aloha, listeners.
And Eli is going to have some strong reports on what's going on with the march in March on March 9th in Poipu.
Yep. Yeah, we're very excited about that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happening. And then Carol Bain.
Aloha, KKCR listeners.
Yep, she's in here too. And so you kind of got two roles in here today. I mean, anything is energy related. Everything on the island is energy related. And you are running as an incumbent. Have you done it one or two terms?
I've been twice. I'm 6 years on the board. This would be my third term
for Kauai Island Utility Cooperatives. So we're going to hear a little bit of energy conversation here. But what I'm also really excited is that you're also part of the American Civil Liberties Union.
I'm a member of the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, and I kind of feel my role here today is to share information about the First Amendment toolkit, and so I'd like to fill that role today primarily.
Okay, perfect, because that'll flow in well, because as people are happening all over the state rising up to be speaking about what really is important and getting their voice heard in government. Two more people who are slated to join us is Tintin Pu'ule and Dustin Barca. Dustin's been I would say it's fair to say the lead organizer in the island's march in March.
Yeah, this whole thing, Dustin's been a huge part in a lot of activism, and especially bringing a lot of younger people into the whole kind of standing up for your rights and your land. He's been a big part of everything, so thanks so much to Dustin.
Yeah, a lot of mahalos out there to Dustin, and we'll see you in here in a few moments. And so we will be learning from Carol a little bit after we explain what is going on. We'll learn just exactly how to make sure everybody is doing things the right way, and I appreciate that that's all been looked into anyway. Around 4:45, we are expecting the county to call in. There's a lot of deadlines this week, one of which is commentary on the proposed landfill and the resource recovery park. A lot of infrastructure being put in that Kahili area there, which is behind Hanama'ulu. So I like to always get primary source information whenever we can first. So when we will be talking about the landfill and the proposed recovery park, we'll hear from them first on what there is going on with that. I know that there has been concern on the last show expressed about contaminants in the water, and that certainly parallels well with what we've been learning about in Waimea. So that is an important part here. A couple events to come to tomorrow night in Princeville at the Church of the Pacific. You will not only be hearing from Carol, but all the board of directors for candidates. There's six of them running for KIUC, so there will be a candidate forum. And KIUC will be playing that live. But it's nice. It's really nice to go in there and be there. When we are going to be also playing the Waimea event that will come on KKCR at some point soon, it will also be on the website. So we'll have that out and on Facebook and online. But being there is really, really much more valuable, I think. I mean, it's good to hear it, but if you can talk to all these candidates in person, all the better. Friday, there is a meeting at the Anahola Clubhouse, I believe at 7. Do you know, Carol? I might have that wrong. This is the Department of Hawaiian Homelands discussion over the 2,100 acres that is up to be possibly leased to Green Energy LLC to be growing eucalyptus after all the albizia has been harvested for the biomass facility. We were talking about that last week with Eric Knudsen. So there's a lot of win-wins in that, but we have to make sure that there's enough win-wins and not a win-win-lose, especially to our host culture. So the Hawaiians, the Kanaka Maoli, their opinion really matters. Hawaiians?
Yeah, I'm not positive that time. I hope a listener will call in with that exact
information. Okay, so we'll get that in there. Also, like if you call in right at first, Eric might just take a message or we'll be able to put that out. We're going to hold off a number of the calls in this first hour because we have so much topic to cover. And we'll be pulling in deeper on the calls towards the end of the show. Trying to think if I'm forgetting any other ones. Mine very important.
So many topics.
There's so many. I mean, another deadline that's kind of a big deal to me is this 4G cell tower that they're putting across the street from me. I kind of want to be right there. And that feathers in also to what we were speaking about at Waimea when you have a combination of effects. You know, mm-hmm. each thing, whether it's electromagnetic radiation, contaminants in your water, poor eating habits, a fever, bad health, anything, they all change how the body reacts to things. But I think with that statement, we should just jump into the topic of what happened in Waimea and the science that has so many people concerned about what happens with these practices of agricultural farming.
Right, that was an unreal presentation with the atrazine, and Dr. Tyrone was incredibly incriminating. To me, I found it so incriminating. I was like, look at this evidence of what they've been putting in our water. And halfway through that, to then say that atrazine has been actually found inside the water at Waimea Middle School, where
anything in that well. It's not just
the impact of that. I found it really impacting. So the speech about atrazine is a herbicide that has, you know, been used for a really long time and in one of the most used pesticidal herbicides in all of America, but is banned throughout Europe and many other places because it's an endocrine disruptor incredibly intense way, in that it actually changes the footage of some of those frog photos of testes with eggs rupturing out of their testes is definitely an eye-opener, I think, to anybody, whether you understand the science behind it or not. I think it's really scary to think that that's even happening to frogs, and one less every other animal.
And I just want to, for people who don't know the word endocrine or the endocrines, that's the hormones in your body. So just being real layman's terms about this, in this case, it affects the genders is where they're finding the biggest impact. They might have not studied other areas, but it lowers the testosterone and kind of converts it to estrogen. So not only does it demasculate you, they called it chemical castration.
Yeah, I thought that was a great
term. I thought it was
term.
A great word, chemical castration. But then some of the frogs, like 10% of the frogs, were so demasculated, they were feminized into
the point of laying eggs.
The point of laying eggs
and actually being able to reproduce viable offspring for the next generation. It is quite scary. So the endocrine, yeah, is that hormone. It's the system of hormones throughout the body, really. And by impacting the endocrine or the hormone system, it totally changes all kinds of things that we don't understand. That area of science is very, very new. We've probably only really even known that these chemicals impact hormones in this way for maybe 15 years. About as long as they've really been dosing us with these chemicals that they don't know the impacts of. And atrazine is definitely a high concern one, along mm-hmm. with dicamba and other ones that they use throughout the island.
I tried to find an article about, that came out a couple years ago that talked about teenage pregnancies and how those numbers are coming down. But this was written by an obstetrician who said he presumed that this was over low sperm count in males, and that what they're seeing is 18-year-old men have less virility than 60-year-old men. And for some reason, we just are really seeing a big drop in the sperm count. And so I thought about that when I was hearing that.
Yeah, Dr. Lauren Pang was saying that in California and a lot of these places where these GMO fields are, they're testing males that are having trouble getting their wife pregnant. And then there's a big correlation that they found that these men that were having trouble also had high amounts of atrazine
in their
system. Yeah.
In their urine, uh-huh.
And that was just crazy to hear that you could take one of these GMO field workers and take 1/24,000th of their piss and actually sterilize lab animals with that. That's the amount of atrazine needed to actually affect the system. So it's crazy.
The concentration in adult males was so much more powerfully strong than what was being presented in the frogs.
Yeah, just the whole testing system that Lauren Pang kind of talked about, and Tyrone, it was just insane. It's like, Lauren Pang was talking about catalyst chemicals. Like, it's one thing to test atrazine on a completely healthy lab animal that's having no other chemicals affecting it, but in our modern lives we may have 25, 50 different foreign chemicals going through our bloodstream, and just a little amount of a separate chemical can perpetuate the effects of something that would be nothing in a lab.
Right. He called it combined effects. Mm-hmm. And so that we saw a lot, and it's not even just other chemicals.
Yeah, potentiation is what that term is for the actual, where the two interact and possibly even create a more toxic variety of a chemical. And like he said, when you mix two chemicals, you immediately have to associate that as a new chemical because the impacts are unknown of how they will relate to each other, both in the environment, but as an individual chemical as well. And one of the things, you know, like with atrazine, the focus of that was atrazine, which is a common weed killer that was used since the 1950s. And they use 80 million pounds annually was one of the things that he had said. But recently they've outlawed it in Europe because of the groundwater contamination, because you ban it in one place and it doesn't necessarily ban it at all because it's coming in through your neighboring countries and through the rain. And one of the things I found, really sobering is that he believes it can go up to 1,000 miles. I'm pretty sure it was 1,000 that he said of actually
1,000.
Following in the, in the rain and landing somewhere else. And obviously, that's all of Kauai if they're dumping it on the west side. So.
Well, and in all of Hawaii, because they are doing the open air spraying. And I forget they had a scientific word, but it means it goes up in the air that it right then those chemicals evaporate with the water and go into the clouds and rain down. So it's airborne. It's not just in the water.
Another part of it, too, was even if they were trying different generations of the frogs tested with this atrazine, and they found that of the few test subjects that were completely healthy, their offspring were tried and tested, and they're finding huge effects in the offspring. And then the second generation even was showing effects from the first host. So it's like
the grandchildren.
Yeah,
they're sterile, typically.
Exactly. So even if you get some atrazine in you and it's not affecting you, it could affect your kid or your kid's kids. So it's not just a simple chemical that just comes out of your system.
Yeah, as much as it's a war on us, it's almost a war on our future generations more than us, you know what I mean?
And look at the correlation.
That's the scary thing.
between birth rates and
welcome, Dustin.
Yeah, with like women, you know, having complications in the first trimester. You know, that I'd love to get the statistics on how often these kind of things happen and how often, you know, people, what has miscarriage gone up? Has you know, birth rates in teenagers really gone down in the state? And does that correlate with atrazine use? And does that kind of fit in some way? I mean, it seems that most of the data that he was showing says it does in other places, and I would assume it would probably right here in our backyard.
I did speak with Dr. Lauren Pang, who works with the Department of Health. He's on Maui, and I asked him, and he said we need to speak to our guy here too. But they do look at correlations of, they call it spontaneous abortion, but that is pretty common to lose babies when you're exposed to that.
Yeah, definitely. And just a little bit more, I just found some of my notes that I took the other day. The atrazine, to clarify with the testosterone, it turns on an enzyme that makes the testosterone into estrogen, is basically the summary of how that works. So it makes those, and even in those controls, it showed the control male with a level of testosterone that was high on a bar, and then it showed a male exposed to atrazine with testosterone much lower, and then it showed the control female, which was higher than the male that was exposed to atrazine, meaning that it had reduced the testosterone to below what a woman would normally have for a frog.
You know, maybe I'm underskilled in my drug use issues, but I've been told, what is the there's a word for ice, it's like Vatu or something like
Vatu.
That.
Vatu.
I've heard they say Vatu makes Mahu, right? That there's a number
That's
of people.
That's a fact.
There's a number of people who, and I've known them growing up, and I love them no matter whatever their energy is now, but people who were highly masculine boys, and they go through this phase of doing crystal methamphetamine, and then they are...
kind of thinner, smaller...
homosexual.
It could be hormone related. It definitely could. There could be chemical exposures that change the hormones to such extent. I wouldn't doubt it at all. It's,
I mean,
it's
you
theory.
See that.
We should look into that.
I mean, I was actually, if I had his email address, I thought about asking those guys, those two professors, to be looking at it to try and check what could be happening if there's a combined effect between crystal methamphetamine and atrazine, because I've seen it happen, and then I hear that slang that is common.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the biggest thing about that whole thing, obviously, you know, the use of atrazine is concerning on its own, but I thought the most sobering part of that whole conversation with both of those professors was that it doesn't matter if it's, even if we do know what the impact of one chemical is, when we're mixing all these chemicals and being exposed to all these test chemicals, you're already exposed to all kinds of chemicals in your day-to-day life, in your personal care products and getting in your car and everything else that we're exposed to. One less when you're doing that and getting, walking along the side of the road and getting sprayed with some sort of herbicide that nobody really knows the impact of. And the combined effects, I thought, were probably the most sobering of that whole, and the chance for potentiation within these chemicals that are being used.
And we've had a lot of discussion, and this overlaps you also, Carol, with the electromagnetic field that comes out of things like smart meters or different elements. It's our cell phones, it's our wireless phones in our houses, but EMF does a little bit of cell damage in the brain. You know, the GMOs, the BT toxins, are known to be doing cell damage in the digestive tract. That's when we get things like GERD, and they call it leaky gut syndrome. There, the corollary is highly suspected, because BT toxins cause the bugs' stomachs to burst open. And so, gosh, since we've started eating this, we're seeing perforations in the human digestive tracts. I want to say aloha to Tintin, who's in here now.
Aloha.
So we're happy to have him here, too. So we've got these different chemistry problems. Eli, have you been looking at the science of...
Yes, I have been looking at the science for a while now. I actually have a pre-med degree. I had 4 years of organic chemistry and biochemistry, and it's pretty interesting to see these big companies like Syngenta and Monsanto get on and flat out say that these are non-toxic chemicals that break down and we have nothing to worry about. They actually get on TV with their lobbyists and lie to all of America's faces, saying that there is no health risk for any of these types of chemicals. But the facts are the facts, and chemicals are extremely detrimental to humans and all animal life forms. Specifically, the pesticides that they use, you can even go to the EPA's own website, and they have a list of the detrimental effects of pesticides, which include cancer, liver and kidney damage, reproductive disorders, as well as nervous system disorders. And so this is on the EPA's website, and they have specific criteria for how to use certain pesticides. But on the one hand, we'll have the EPA saying, oh, it's up to Monsanto to regulate themselves because their food is the same as other food. It's essentially the same. Corn is a corn. They look the same. They smell the same. But if you know anything about science on a molecular level, they're the furthest thing from the same. For one, they're getting a patent on a thing called genetic modification. So they're modifying these corn seeds on a genetic level, at this level of the DNA in the gene. And that right there is a difference. So whether or not the corn looks the same, that is kind of a silly statement to make, because their whole thing is that they own the seed because of the difference that they have patented. They can't have two sides of this.
Right, to say we own this because it's different, but it's not so different enough that there's any effect for you. What Dr. Lauren Pang said that I felt was really, really important, because he worked for the World Health Organization, and he made a comparison of when they would do tests. Actually, this was in a different presentation that I heard him do. When they test drugs to go on the market, they test them on like teenagers in Southeast Asia and Africa, where they're not likely to be exposed to a lot of other things. They try it mostly poor kids, but so if they manage to not surface a bad reaction to the drug in these teenagers, then they can release it on the market. But then they release it and they call it aftermarket. When it gets out into the American market and the European market of people who are drinking alcohol, taking all kinds of drugs, doing all kinds of different things, other prescription drugs, then they start having all these failures. Though even then, they usually leave it on the market for about 5 years till they lose some significant lawsuit. So they're able to run that, but as the FDA only requires drug manufacturers to test in isolation, not a combined effect. And then the EPA tests these chemicals individually on rats, never on people. And they never test for a combined effect either. So what the net effect of all of this is this stuff isn't really actually ever tested.
Nope.
It's not really tested, and we are the tests. Just like, even more so than when they put these aftermarket drugs with us, and then we'll see if Vioxx really gives a heart attack and so forth. So we really need to work hard to help them become right. And what both men said is that the FDA relies on customer complaints and citizen complaints to give the pushback. And the regulators aren't even really studying that.
Well, one of the things about this is they're coming from companies like Syngenta, like Monsanto, that have brought us chemicals in the past, like Agent Orange. And the thing about Agent Orange was you didn't know immediate health effects necessarily. And sometimes these health effects popped up 10, 20, 30 years later. And like you said previously, 90-day rat trials on for these chemicals in isolation, not in combination, is by no means long enough of a lifespan of a rat, let alone a lifespan of a human being. No GMO tests have ever been done on a human being. They're being done as we speak, as we eat them. So when they say we've been eating this stuff for 20 years, maybe, but 20 years ago we were eating maybe 5% of our diet from GMO. 10 years ago, maybe 30, 40%. It's only in the last 5 years that we're eating 80% of our food has this genetic modification in it. What's going to happen 10, 20 years down the line, especially like what Dustin was saying, what's going to happen to our kids? This stuff has never been tested, and yet our kids are, it's in my unborn son before he's even born, these chemicals.
And we're seeing what's happening in Vietnam on the third generation past the war. And 2,4-D is one of the primary ingredients and made by the same folks as Agent Orange. And that's what we're putting there. And I'm going to bring Dustin into the conversation here because I want to start to shift a little bit to talk about the March in March, because this becomes what is Hawaii's gift and legacy to the world. And do we really want to be having this kind of atrocity both in our land, but when we're sending it out? So you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Dustin Barka. Let's learn about, I want to know what happened, how you got the idea to do the marches across the islands, what happened last week in Haleiwa, what's going to happen this week in Poipu, and then next week in Hilo.
Well, the idea originally came from my friend brought up marches, and he's talking about time and maybe April, and I was thinking about what I've got going on, and then I thought about March, and then, you know, March. Wow, that's catchy. You know, so we found out there's five Saturdays in March. There's five islands they're doing GMO chemical testing and farming on, and we thought, hey, let's shake this world up and make a change here and bring everybody together of all colors and creeds and you know, bring out the Aloha Aina warriors, because, you know, everybody that lives in Hawaii it's up to us to keep this place as pure as possible and to, you know, keep the land as pure as possible and the water for generations to come like they've done for us, or else we wouldn't be here living life, you know, we live in the beautifulest place on earth, and we need to really take advantage. You know, the whole world is looking at us as the chemical testing capital of the world, and, you know, we're the epicenter for GMO chemical testing and seed crops, and it's just like, I think everybody's just been uneducated about the situation, and now that we have so much internet access, and, you know, everybody's learning, and it's almost like this growing consciousness, and everybody's coming together as one, you know, and in the name of love, you know, and the love for our kids, and the love for our island, and the love for the future generations and our people, and these companies that are here, they're not farming companies. These are the biggest chemical companies in the world.
And I have to say, guilty of some war crimes.
These companies have made the poisons for all the biggest wars in the world. They made poisons for Hitler. They made poisons for World War, was it two that was in Vietnam?
World War II was Hitler. Okay. But Vietnam, that was Agent Orange.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So they made all these poisons for all these wars, and now they're here. It seems like war on the people to me. And you know, we're just doing our best to wake everybody up and get everybody together, because, you know, Hawaii is a special place where, you know, people come together as one, because, you know, we have this thing called aloha, and it's more than just a hello, a goodbye, and I love you. It's a vibration, and it's a, you know, it's the way of life.
It's the spirit.
Yeah.
It's the spirit.
And those who know it are, you know, we're all coming together as one. We're building this peaceful militia of people that all want just a better future for our families and ourselves and the future of our land, aloha aina.
And so on Oahu, I heard somewhere between 800 and 1,000 folks were out there. Was it a fun and loving day?
It was unreal. It was amazing. Anybody who's been involved in any kind of rallies or marches or anything who was there was just blown away, because it was three times as big, four times as big as any march. They said it was the biggest march in 30 years. And, yeah, we had 800 to 1,000 people easily. The news said 300, but there was, you know, twice that much, I'd say. And, we filled the whole Haleiwa town up, which is kind of the epicenter of, the chemical testing for Oahu. And, you know, everything's running downstream and right into their town, and they're starting to do crops right in the middle of the town. It's crazy, you know, and that's such a big tourist destination. So anyways, the march went unreal. We all started at the top. We gave a nice prayer and some words, and just let everybody know that we're marching for love and not for hate, you know, and we're not marching against something as much as we're marching for a better future for, you know, our land and our keikis. And so it was real peaceful and beautiful, and everybody came together, and it was just, you know, one of those things you had to have been there to feel the vibration.
I saw, like, there was the 1,000 coconut trees planted?
Yeah, they planted coconut trees before and after the party. We had John Cruz came and played some music, a few other people.
I saw Michael Franti was there.
Michael Franti had a nice speech. He marched with us. And, you know, Brother Nolan, some other people played music, and it was just unreal. Yeah, it was just, it all came together, you know, and it's just like we didn't even have it so together, but the last 24 hours, it just like John Cruz was playing music, and, you know, it's just all worked out. And we got Kauai this weekend, the 9th, Saturday. We're hoping to pull twice that much people because Kauai is, you know, we're ground zero. Every other island's got, you know, big stuff going on, but Kauai is ground zero. We got, you know, this is already affecting the kids in the schools in Waimea. They're in Lihue now, right around the schools. They're, for some reason, they're always around schools. It just blows me away. Molokai, they're around schools, but, you know, it's time for our island to come together as one again, just like the Super Ferry. This is 10 times bigger than the Super Ferry. This is 1,000 times bigger. This is the future of our island. This is the future of our bloodlines and our kids and everything. And it's just like, this is the biggest thing our island's ever had to deal with as one.
And it's more than just the genetics of people. It's the genetics that what we saw in our Waimea presentation, rats, birds, reptiles. We saw little slices of their testes. You know, every one of them was impacted.
The fish and the amphibians and most highly. But, yeah, all the way through to mammals, it does the exact same thing.
So we're polluting everything. So let's
This is, you know, it's not just affecting us. Of course, it's affecting people who hunt their food on the island. It's affecting people who fish off the island, divers, fishermen, hunters. All of us are being affected, and farmers. And, you know what I mean? It's time for all of us to come together as one.
So, this Saturday, what's happening, you know, like I know when I went to the Vandana Shiva event, even though in some ways it's a protest event, I suppose, it felt so loving, so positive. It was just, it almost felt like a music concert.
It was a welcoming feeling, like it was really good. I was there just for a short time, but I enjoyed my stay and the message that was shared there that night. Because I, before this, I mean, I'm still new to this, and I know that it's not right, so I want to learn more and teach the people, you know, especially the Hawaiian families around here that don't know and are a little closed-minded towards things like this. I just want to reach out to them and just explain and you know, just educate more.
And at Waimea, there was actually quite a good number of Kanaka there, and I was really warm to look at the room, and I saw so many fresh faces to me. It was not like the North and East side went and filled out this event. This was West Side folks with a sprinkling of us.
Well, this is something that, you know, the people of Kauai is gonna, if we're gonna overcome this, we're gonna have to do it together. So there's no more North Shore, South Side, West Side. We're Kauai, and we gotta come together as one to fight this fight.
And we got to get the people that are so busy working hard jobs to stop and pay attention, and our legislators and county council people, everybody, they also are so busy, they're delirious. Well, we got to pierce through that in our business community. And I know that on Haleiwa, it was targeting educating Kamehameha schools. I don't know if they showed up down there.
Yeah.
This Saturday, it's being targeted a little bit more in an area of high visitors.
Yeah. Well, Poipu is, not everybody knows it, but is surrounded by GMO chemical testing and crops. So it's our biggest tourist destination on the island, I'd have to say, huh? Bigger than Princeville?
It's bigger than Princeville.
So it's our biggest tourist destination on the island. We think that, you know, tourism is our number one income for Hawaii. And I think the tourist board should start getting on our side, and the visitors board should start thinking about the health of the visitors who are visiting this place also. So it's we're targeting that side of things because of that reason, and we're targeting Poipu because all the locals aren't the most educated about the situation, and we want to bring light upon that also to let them know that that east wind is always blowing in their windows. And the you know what I mean? That trade winds blowing their windows every day, and you know, even the people who work there, we're not trying to take them out of their jobs.
We're protecting them.
We're
yeah?
protecting their families and them. We're trying to get them a better job. Hopefully we can, we find that alternative, because that's one of our goals, is to find the backup plan and find an entity to come in and help with this backup plan. And, you know, this is a cry for help by our island and, to the world, and coming together and dealing with stuff as people who pay the taxes and people who make everything work on this island. We're just kind of targeting the whole world and saying, we need you now. We're coming together as one, and it's time for us to
unite as one
in a peaceful way. We're for love, you know. We're for the love of our future generations, the love of our island, and you know, aloha aina. It's been going forever.
Yeah, we can't do this unless we all come together and we get the numbers out there. We're up against multi-billion dollar companies, and the only way we can do it is with the power of our voice and the power of the people. Just like Barco was saying with the Super Ferry, that was an amazing feat, up against M16s, up against possible deportation, jail time, and the people were able to pull that off as peacefully as a people, and that's what we're looking at doing here.
And I know that the police have been, you guys have gone and spoken to the police and let them know what's happening.
Absolutely, yeah. I met again yesterday with a couple of the people down at the police department, and they are aware of what's going on. And, you know, I invited them to come out and to march with us. The one officer I was speaking to in the end said he has soccer with the kids. But, you know, I think the cops really understand where we're coming from, and they are, at the end of the day, there to serve and protect. And I hope that they'll all feel that need to come out and serve and protect, because this is the ultimate protection that Kauai really needs. You know, in regards to that, we don't have a permit and we'll not be closing one lane. We won't be marching in the road. We will be on the side. But we are, you know, well within our right to protest, I believe, Carol.
Well, I just will speak to that. What I'm hearing is a great message, and we all want to get this very powerful, strong message out, because, yes, we do have a right to protest. We have a right to demonstrate. But after hearing the great turnout, not only January 17th, where you filled the Kauai War Memorial with over 1,000 people, 300 people in Waimea with new faces, the wonderful turnouts that you're experiencing, you're going to get over 150 people. You're going to get hundreds of people. And so the main concern of the police is safety. And because you're on public roads, they don't want any traffic hindering. And that they are there for that. And if and there they mentioned about the single lane, and so they're there for that purpose. So it is important that the, I think that's a great poster. We want to make sure, I would even hand deliver that poster to the chief of police immediately. And we want to just make sure that the chief of police's office is fully aware. And what's going to happen is then they will assign some extra duty. It's still enough time for them. And we just want everything to be smooth. And that's fine. There won't be, if they're prepared for this, then it'll be facilitated. If they're not prepared, if they're caught flat-footed, so to speak, it will be uncomfortable for them and for us. They'll be worried about safety. So, but yes, we're within our rights. What I could do as a service today is talk about what to do if we do encounter law enforcement, what could happen, just how to maintain our right attitude, and what to do if something, you know, does go wrong. But we do want to get our positive message out. And what I have today to give to each and every one of you is what's called, it's from the American Civil Liberties Union, and I have a copy for everyone. It's called the First Amendment Toolkit, and I'll just hand them out, and you can take them with you, and I have enough for everyone. And look it over, share it with people, and we can discuss. I don't want to tell you all of it, but we do have the First Amendment in place. We do have
rights. Which is rights. The right to free speech.
Free speech. We have the right to assemble. And certainly, yes, we're going to, on Saturday, you're going to be able to march on the route. Your poster is excellent. It shows the route.
Which is from the Hyatt to...
Poipu Hyatt to the Beach Park.
Poipu Hyatt mm-hmm. to the Beach Park, yeah.
And to Poipu Beach Park.
Starting around 11:30 or noon, and you're going to keep a single lane, and you're going to not block or hinder traffic. If there are... and you're staying on public property. We're not going on any private property. And it is a sensitive area, tourism... Tourists are going to look and they're going to want, but we want everything to go smooth. You will be delivering a message, and the message will be peaceful and informational and educational.
And loving for their health.
And then you're ending up at the public park at a pavilion, which, is there going to be, where are we ending up at the beach park?
Yeah, we're just ending up right there at the beach park. We're going to have a nice paena. Speech and... Thank everybody, you know, and give water for everybody and, okay. you know, try to cater to everybody. We're trying to get a bus right now to help with the elders and, you know, people who don't feel like walking anymore. We're going to try to cater to them. You know, we want to have this be catering to all people and welcoming to all people.
And we probably should think about parking, too. Like, if we can shuttle people out to the beginning of the event, of the walk...
Well, the best parking is actually the beginning of the event, so we'll probably be shutting people back to their cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
I'll
a lot
take
of parking
the bus.
Along that stretch right there, along the side of the road. And we went and checked it out today. We checked out our route. It's going to be about 3.5 miles, 3 miles around there. We're doing a loop back to Poipu Beach, where we'll be ending. You know, Makana's coming. He wants to play some music for us, and... you know, he's always a good one to speak. And, you know, Uncle Walter Riddy's coming. He's always a motivational speaker for local people and somebody we can always relate to. And we're just going to have a few people speak and, you know, we'll go from there.
Well, the ACLU does say that you need a permit to march on a public street anytime you block off traffic. Or walk on the street itself. So,
sidewalk it.
And if you're on the sidewalk, as long as you're not hindering the public, so if somebody is wanting to use that sidewalk, that they can also get through. So, what I can do, there's a coordinator at the ACLU in Honolulu, Kit Grant, and she asked me to find out, you know, how things were going today. And what she can do is facilitate, and maybe we can get a permit. There's a few days. We can put it together. And so if you'd like, we can work on that together.
I personally, if not, then
we won't.
Yeah. I think personally there is a chance that, you know, they should give us some kind of permit and so we can make good and Pono with the police and everybody can run on a really, you know, legal beat. And, you know, it didn't hold up Haliva too much when we held up one lane of traffic, you know, on that island. And, you know, we got so many resources to pull in a permit here. And I think it would just be the best overall thing for the county to just, you know, come together and give us a permit. Because this could be... you know, a lot of people coming together. And
you want it to be smooth.
Yeah, for safety reasons and everything, you know. We want everything to be run smoothly.
I think it will happen, and it'll be very positive. And we have enough time to make it work.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
It's going to work.
And I think we do have the county on the line. They're listening in. And so we're going to welcome them in. And we will come back to the more core part of what we're talking about. But they have a parallel issue. I've invited them to speak. We had people asking last week about water contaminants underneath the new proposed landfill. You know, that's the challenge. We learned about atrazine last week.
Mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
all kinds of things. The other thing is, though, is unlike we're not all GMO farmers, but we all do create rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to work on creating less rubbish. And, you know, but what we have to be able to do, you know, Port Kekaha, they are dealing with our trash since just about the time of the hurricane, and we got to move it. And so we need to think about where it's going to go. And so we've had a number of...
Poor Kekaha is dealing with a lot.
Kekaha is in the crosshairs. So I asked the county if they could share with us what's going on with their plan.
Okay,
so
perfect.
That we can be working with facts. And I went to one of the presentations, and frankly, it sounded pretty good. But I just listened to what they had to say, and I thought they thought out a lot of things well. Aloha, you're on the air.
This is the county. I got disconnected.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you're back now? So
yes.
Were you able to hear what I was just saying? Is this Troy?
Donald.
Hey, Donald.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. We got disconnected.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm here with Troy Tanigawa.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison Fraley from the Solid Waste Division.
Okay, so just to bring you up to speed, we have been speaking about contaminated groundwater, soil contaminants, and issues really dealing with the biotech industry. We want to hear directly from the county about the proposed landfill and the resource recovery park. Many people have some concerns. There is a comment period coming up very soon, a deadline, but I went to one of your presentations. It actually sounded like you thought things through pretty well. I wanted to have you explain to us and the listeners the essence of the landfill.
Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Donald Fujimoto. I'm the Environmental Service Officer. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be on your show and to provide some information on this very important subject. First of all, we would like to encourage the public to submit any and all concerns that they have. We have on our website contact information. We have a email address, as well as we have a form that they could print out and send in to the consultants to have their comments and concerns addressed, yeah, in the report. A lot of the specific information that you're asking for, especially regarding like water, how do we prevent water contamination and those issues, are going to be addressed in the design, in the landfill design. And a lot of it are requirements imposed by the federal and state agencies to ensure that the groundwater is protected. We do not have the final designs or the actual specific details of those issues. However, that is our primary objective and challenge is to really address those issues and ensure that any and all concerns are mitigated.
Well, the location of this is sort of behind Hanama'ulu, yes? It's sort of up Kapaya area between Hanama'ulu and Lihui, back behind the... what's the little mountain right there that it's behind? Kalepa?
Yes.
And so it's going to be behind Kalepa, so it won't be visible from the road. Who owns that land?
It's owned by the state of Hawaii.
So is that considered, this is a concern that's been brought forward, is that ceded land, Hawaiian land? I know really the entire state is Kanaka or Hawaiian, but is this anything that's designated very specifically for Hawaiians?
Yes, that issue was brought up in one of our community meetings. And we're still looking at that issue, and it will be addressed in the EIS document.
But can you answer it anyway? Is it DHHL land? Is it Department of Hawaiian Homelands, or is it just regular what they call state land?
Again, I think the issue of ceded lands is kind of a very sensitive and requires a lot of research.
Okay.
So at this time, we're not prepared to answer that question.
Okay. How about, I think another kind of conversation piece that has been asked on air in the past is, what is the fault structure underneath this area? It's a wetland. Is that correct?
I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, is that land area that's being considered, what's known as a wetland? Is that an area that tends to be marshy?
There is an area that is maybe considered to be wetland. However, the landfill site itself is outside of the wetlands.
Okay. And the rock structure, all of that underneath, because people are so concerned about water contamination, I've looked at what they do in Kekaha. There's like a very big plastic membrane underneath the landfill.
Yes, good point. Again, it's another requirement for constructing landfills imposed by federal government to ensure protection of the groundwater. In this particular case, the state is even looking at possibly imposing the requirement to do a double liner just to, again, ensure, provide the double assurance that the groundwater will be protected.
And this landfill is being designed for, I think it said 250 years is what they're hoping the lifespan of the landfill will be?
Yes, it has the capacity for that length of time. And I guess we all know that as we move forward and as technology takes over, there is, some people that believe that at some point we may not need a landfill in the future. And hopefully we will not have to use all of that capacity.
And so when a landfill is being put, that plastic barrier, there's a hole dug underneath it. I'm just putting it in layman's terms because that's, I don't know the science behind all of it, but they dig a big hole and then they put the plastic in. Is that right?
Well, that's correct.
So how deep is that hole?
Normally, again, based on standard design, we're not planning on going below 20 feet from the existing elevation.
So it's not going below 20 feet. How tall does this landfill end up being at some point?
Again, we have not completed the conceptual design, so I don't have that information.
Okay. And Fern, did you have a question? I've got somebody who's got an environmental
background. I do have a single question. I reviewed the paperwork that you have online, and I was just wondering if... it says in there, and I just wanted to confirm with you, that the primary reason that you had selected this site was because it was the only willing landowner of the sites that were assessed.
Yes.
So obviously that makes it a little bit...
It's a big deal.
Yeah, that is a big deal, and it makes it a lot easier if you have someone that's willing to do it on their land. But, you know, with everything that we've just recently gone through with the seizing of Mike Sheehan's property in Hanalei, I was reminded that the lawyer from the county did say in that meeting that you can seize any land in the state, pretty much, or in the county, sorry, that you feel is the benefit of the people and the community. So kind of, if you look at it in that way, doesn't it seem to broaden the opportunities to put it in other places? Because realistically, you guys can take whatever you want.
Well, it's not
question.
As simple as you put it, but yes,
God,
you're right.
It's a shame.
The government has the ability to, seize property. But when you're looking at the amount of acreage that we're talking about, and when you look at the strategic location of all of the sites, just so happened that there's other advantages to siting the landfill at Malo besides just the willing landowner.
Right.
But the willing landowner is probably one of the biggest and biggest issues that is making us look at this site.
Right. And I noticed like the mapping of that area, it does show in that they found a wetland, that the on-site ecologist probably that did the ground assessment found that there was some sort of wetland in between the two locations, between where you intend to put the recovery resource center, which, by the way, I think is very well thought out and has incredible potential to decrease our waste. I think that was,
I was impressed.
It was very, very good. And we definitely need one of those, so we definitely have to find a good spot for it. But there was a wetland, and it seems to be surrounded by that. And I know that that is a lot more concerning because of the rainfall levels there in the Wailua area. But also all of those sites that you propose, I believe it's the 8 sites that you look at, they're all agricultural lands. Is that correct?
That's right.
So it doesn't really take away that fact, because that is pretty good agricultural land. Unfortunately, a lot of that's being leased currently to biotech, but eventually we actually hope to have that be farmland to support Kauai in the long term. So having, you know, that was one of the concerns that I had really when I read it. I was like, oh, this is, you know, more agriculture land that we import 90% of our food. Like, we need that, the agriculture land. The second spot that you guys are rated, I guess, as the second best location, was it Pu'upapai?
Yes.
And
can you tell us where that is, Fern?
I believe that's on the southwestern shore. Am I correct, or south side?
That's on GNR land, Jan Robinson. Between Kamakani and Pakala, if you're familiar with that area.
Kind of near the surf break there.
It's on the Malka side of the highway.
Mm. Yeah, so it's higher up in the. Yeah. Groundwater kind of at level. It's up higher. It's a shorter lifespan, but it was rated as the second best in the report.
Right.
And it's a shame because I just haven't seen both of the sites. I'm, you know, waiting for the EIS to come out really before I made any kind of formal comments with you guys. But I understand the difficulty of a process of trying to find a piece of land that you have to dig a big hole and put rubbish in. It's a really horrible job.
I think the difficult thing is no place is a good place
exactly.
for a landfill, yet we all make garbage,
and we all
really need to change our behavior.
It's a issue all of us need to deal with on a daily basis. I have a friend of mine, he's a firefighter, and he said that he and his family of five put out one bag of trash a week. One bag. And
I'm that.
Yeah, and so if all of us can start learning how to do that, not the 50, 60-gallon... Or what are those, like 120-gallon, the green ones?
I have one, 10-gallon bucket that holds my garbage bag, and that's it for the week.
And even if we all do get to that level, the sad thing is that at the stage is that we still need a landfill, which is also the county's point. They still have to figure out a place that we have to put this thing, because even if we cut it down, we still have to have some way to treat what's left. Because at the end of the day, there's always stuff left. Even if you recycle and reuse as much as you can, you're still going to have waste. So when is the draft report expected to be completed for the EIS?
Okay, right now, the tentative date for the completion of the draft EIS is in August of this year.
And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and we are honored to have the County Solid Waste Team online with us as Ohana o Kauai are in the room talking about how do we keep our land clean.
Okay, that was pretty much the only questions I had regarding the landfill. Like I said, I'm waiting to see what the report comes back with. I am concerned about the wetland area. You know, like, I'm from that area too, so...
What's going to run downstream, especially
It depends on how they treat it. I mean, the leachate, the potential for us to process that on site. I'm concerned about the open ponds. I'm concerned about a lot. I've spent time on landfills, and they're really not very pleasant in any way, shape, or form. And I've done groundwater monitoring for very large landfills in Australia where, you know, we sampled from groundwater well below. So I know that the concerns are there, and it is such a wet place that I feel that, you know, the impacts are going to be there no matter what. It's just going to be the level of them and how they treat it. So I really am waiting for the design stuff to come out as well.
When... there is a deadline coming up, though, right, for public testimony?
But that's just for the initial stage before they even release the draft EIS.
But what, I'm asking Donald, what is that date?
Yes.
What is that
yes.
deadline?
I believe the official date is March 11. However, the posting date by OETC was March 9,
okay.
which is Saturday. But the official date, I believe, is March 11.
Which is
I would, just to be safe, I would encourage everybody to try to submit before... March 9. The person, the lady just right to you, she's correct. There will be another opportunity to provide comments, and that is after the completion of the draft EIS. That's going to be the big one. You know, right now we're again, because we're still doing a lot of research, we're still trying to find out the issues to address, and then once we get all of this information, we're going to put everything together and try to come up with a conceptual design that will satisfactorily address all of those concerns. That will be put together into the draft EIS. And upon review, as that person mentioned, if there's still some concerns, that needs to be stated. And then we're going to go through one more process of trying to address those concerns before the final EIS.
So we have a convergence of infrastructure coming in that Mahalo area. We have the horizontal well drill proposal for the water department. We have the landfill. We have the biomass fill, which really is around the corner. And then there's this 1,000 acres of farmland that is being proposed, hopefully in a cooperative, the Kilauea Farm Bureau. We're going to be hearing from, they'll be in here next week on the studio. You know, so we're looking at the contaminant levels. And when I went to the horizontal drill meeting, they said one of the reasons that they want to drill into the mountain that's 2 miles kind of into the heart of Kauai is to avoid the chemicals, the ag chemicals that have seeped down into the water table already. So that is the Lihue Aquifer there that has this. So is the fact that there's already a sense that there's contamination in the water, why this would be placed there when they're looking to do a fresher source of water above it?
I cannot speak for the water department. I can tell you this, though, that that their project that they are looking at, the horizontal shaft, is easily over 5 miles away from this site, and it is up gradient of our facility.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Team, does anybody have further questions?
No, I just would like to thank you two for answering our questions, and I'll hopefully get to connect with you guys at some stage, because I would like to help no matter where it goes forward, and making sure, you know, I'm happy to bring in any kind of, I'll do free research if I need to, really, to help it be the best landfill that we can have it be, considering that we need one somewhere. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, and maybe we can get all three of you, Troy and Allison. I know you're in there too. So Donald, maybe you guys all want to come up sometime and be in the studio here, and we'll have a really robust conversation when your plan is more in place.
Yeah, Felicia. Hey, it's Allison.
Yes,
I wanted to make a plug for people checking out the information that is on our website about mm-hmm. the new landfill site.
Yes.
So the web address is kauai.gov/new-landfill-site, all one word. And there we've posted information about the siting studies that we've conducted, information about the Resource Recovery Park. We have a draft plan on there. We have information about the new landfill site with maps and pictures and a lot of stuff that people would, you know, want that detail that people need to know in order to provide some good comments. So, and also the address and downloadable files for being able to comment are on that website too. So it's kauai.gov/new-landfill-site.
Thank you. And then I want to ask you guys, Waste Management, is that the name of the contractor in Waimea? I mean, in Kekaha, Waste Management?
Yes, they're operating, they're our managing firm at the Kekaha landfill.
If the listener were to go to look at the wastemanagement.com site, they've got an incredible instruction video and very appropriate for beginners and young people to understand the concept of how they deal with these landfills. They're not really dumps anymore, you know. They some of them are designed really well. And I want to give a shout-out to the Kekaha landfill folks. They are amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the wonderful things that you do for this island. And you pick up after our bad habits. And I have been in there for a field trip with my students. And before we went in, we had 2 garbage cans a day. I had 12 students. I mean, not a day, a week. We went and saw the landfill. After that, we got down to a half a can of garbage a week. It really is just an awareness. We're not throwing it away. We're putting it in Kekaha's backyard. And it's not hard to actually drop down in your garbage once you're aware of what you're doing. So they do a good job, and they've got really an excellent film there explaining how landfills are designed and the science of it. So we have a listenership here, county folks, that are really getting informed. We're all learning together, and we're excited to be part of the team of making decisions for our island. And like what Ohana o Kauai is all about is The county and the state and the feds can expect us to be on the team. We're part of the team, and we're going to help everybody make decisions on how to utilize our land. So we appreciate you being on air.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mahalo nui.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay.
All right, and we actually have another caller. And
the one thing that sucks about everything that happens on Kauai is it's always in somebody's backyard.
I know, and usually somebody who we love and know.
Yeah. So.
But you know, an upside of that is we all care about each other, and so I do believe nobody really means to be hurting each other, and especially when it is these local, you know, homegrown businesses. And that's the tough thing when we get big agriculture firms that are coming from a long way away, you know. But I like to think that even they need more information. Like the folks who work for them, maybe they don't really know. Because if they did really know, I don't think they'd be working there, especially out in the field.
I completely agree. And while we were having our talks, I was telling the callers to kind of hold back, and we'll be answering their calls a little later. And we had four main calls. One of them was calling from Australia, and he didn't have a question, but he was kind of making a statement, was that when they had a radiation leak in Australia, the effects of the radiation was showing up 50 years later and is actually still showing up. So the point he was trying to make is our land may be poisoned or our water may be poisoned, and even though the effects may not show up with you, you have to always be thinking about the generations ahead, just keeping the land as pure as possible, because once the effects start showing up with some of these chemicals, they're not going to stop showing up. So, you know, we got to protect our land as much as possible. So that was one call.
And if that was Ian, thank you.
It probably was. Two women actually called up, and they're asking, how do we actually target these corporations? You know, like marching is all good, they're saying, but how do we actually target them? And I was actually meaning to kind of say this on the air before, but we kind of got caught up with things. What I love so much about these marches and these meetings and these seminars where we gather information, or even if it's just holding up signs on the side of the road, every single time we do this, we inform more people. Because as you were saying, Dustin, you know, everyone loves this land. You would have to be pretty much blind not to see that this is one of the most beautiful, amazing places in the entire world. So it's kind of obvious that people want to take care of this land, but a lot of people don't know that anything is even wrong with it. You know, they're so in the American dream that they just go to their job, their 9-to-5s, they do it 5 times a week and go home and have a good time with their kids on the beach, and that's their lives. Then they see all these people riled up on the side of the road, and what do you mean, stop poisoning the land, blah, blah, blah. They start looking it up, and that's how we kind of wake up people. So to the callers that had called in and said, how do we actually target these corporations? I think this is how we do it. We get the people up. We get the people awake to what's actually happening out there. And once the people see this, then we can rise up together. You know, it's one thing when maybe 10% of the population is sitting there with their hands up saying that we need to make a change. But it's another thing completely when it's on every single dinner table and everywhere is talking about it, from the kids coming home from school to the parents and stuff after their day's working, you know, talking with their friends. This is the reason why we're doing it. We're trying to awaken the people, and I think that's how we inquire real change. But if anyone else has anything to answer to that question.
Well, yeah, you know, that's why we're doing these marches. We're targeting the working class people. We're targeting the normal people, not the people who have money and know what's really going on all the time, because they're, you know, on the internet, and then, you know, they're up to date with, you know what I mean, what's going on around the world. A lot of people don't have time for that. They're working all day. They just want to make money for their family. Their wife makes food. You know, they come home, they hang out, they go to sleep, they wake up the next day to do the same thing. Those are the people we're targeting, to let them know that their kids' health is in danger. Their town is in danger. Their air is in danger. Their drinking water is in danger. We're getting that information to them, because those are the people that make a change.
And I want to acknowledge our representatives and county council and different people. They are shifting, and today they're voting on House Bill 174. We might get a call in from the House of Representatives. Dee Morikawa is probably going to be calling us and letting us know how that vote came out. They are listening. You know, it's a really big shift. It's a really hard ship to turn around. But we're making a difference. And I think that something I would like to see us do is to put on a forum of short films where we invite these core business leaders that we assume know the difference. But as I speak to them as individuals, they actually don't know the facts on this industry. Everybody's busy, and it hasn't really pierced their knowledge layer yet. So I think that we need to have outreaches of different sorts. And so a march is one, and it's nice and it's fun. I hope a lot of people come. But we can do some other types of ways where we can invite, you know, some key individuals from these different organizations, and we present something to them. You know what else? I'm having an idea right now, too. We can do this on Ho'ike and put that, you know, on the air, so it's almost like a little news show. Eli?
One of the things I wanted to mention that we are doing is we're forming small groups all throughout Hawaii. We're forming hui's of sorts, where we're coming together and thinking about the future for our kids. And slowly but surely, these groups are coming together. Here on Kauai, we have Kauai Rising. We have ourselves, Ohana o Kauai.
GMO-free.
We have GMO-free, who has started our awakening to this issue over 10 years ago. And finally, we're coming around to seeing what's been going on all these years. But we also have IKEA on Oahu. We have Aloha Rising on the Big Island. We have groups all throughout Hawaii. And what we're trying to do is link these groups together. And together, our voice can make political change, because these representatives, believe it or not, they work for us. They just kind of forgot, it seems like. And so once we get our unified voice and we start demanding that they represent us, because right now they don't represent us. Right now, most of our legislators represent big corporation and lobbyists. They are not representing the people by any means. So that's what we're trying to get, is people to realize their power and the power of their voice, the power of the vote, the power of coming together in communities, and our communities coming together to make the changes that we want to see, not that the big corporations, not that the lobbyists want to see. There's a veil that needs to be lifted, and the only way to do that is by education and searching for truth, coming together in love, and making this world a better place.
You know, that's a big thing, is we need to all kind of rise up as a people and come together with this information. That was one of the things in Waimea, Tyrone Hayes, what he brought up was he was sending his letters to the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, you know, showing them proof, you know, knowledge of what atrazine was doing. And they pretty much told him, like, we value your letters, we value your research, but it's not enough for us to actually cause a change in any of the laws or restrictions. It's up to public opinion to really make a change. But the point he was making was, when all of these big companies are releasing all their scientific data in these large scientific magazines that aren't brought to the general public, how are the public supposed to have an opinion on these subjects which they have no idea about? So that's what we're trying to do, is, you know, we got to all come together and find out this information.
Spread awareness.
Yeah, exactly.
Come together.
Come together so that we can all learn this knowledge that is being kept right beyond our reach.
Yeah, that's a point we're reaching right now, is, you know, and we're starting to acknowledge that unity solves problems. And that's the only way we're going to solve any problems around here. You know, we all feel the same way about the same thing, but we're all saying it in different places. We need to come together and say it together, you know. Unity solves problems.
We will be heard. We will be a louder voice all together, you know, just all come together as one in unity. And we all fight for the same thing, which is the right thing to do. And I just want to say that when I first learned about this whole GMO thing, and I knew that, you know, right off the bat, I knew this is not good for the future, for our children. So right away, I wanted to get involved. And I'm learning more and more every day about what's going on, and how blind people are, or not blind, but like how much is going on around us that we don't know about. So I'm speaking to the Hawaiian people out there that, you know, some of us have the grandparents that don't want to listen to the holy guy come up the driveway and talk. But, you know, this is time to, you know, be aware of what's going on. So I just want to send a message out to all the, you know, all the local people, all the Hawaiian people. Just please take a little bit of your time to educate yourself and your children.
And we have a caller that represents another group who is definitely part of our team. And we're going to bring them up. They have an announcement. And Actually, you're part of a handful of teams. Is this Raymond?
Yeah, this is Raymond Catania. I'm calling in for my good buddy and I, James Jimbo Alalem, and we were the ones fighting to protect the shoreline and the sacred beach of Wailua. Yeah. But I just wanted to call and just give me a couple minutes to announce that we're showing some pretty decent movies this coming Friday over the library, and it's for free. The first one is called Strong Voices, Passionate Hearts, and it features the young people who spoke out against the Public Land Development Corporation at Rotunda a few months back. It's really good. It's from the heart. And then we got this other one called No Heva. It's about how the military and corporations like Walmart have been destroying sacred Hawaiian sites. And then we're going to have photographs that we can share with people about what's happening in the shoreline in Wailua. And I wanted to thank you guys for all the information that you guys do. It sounds like this is going to be one terrific demonstration, yeah?
We hope to see you there.
Yeah, and please come, Uncle.
And I got a particular message for Dustin. I really like his approach because he said he wants to reach the working class people. And that's really important to reach the hotel workers, which is a big part of our workforce. And I did talk to some people from Local 5. And they did say to me that they're going to try to get some other people to come out to the demonstration that work out in that area. I believe Hyatt is ILWU, but the Sheraton is Local 5. And those guys were instrumental in forming IKEA. Yeah?
Yeah.
And they've been very part of this coalition, Labor United.
Yeah, there were some of them joined us in Haleiwa last Saturday.
Oh, terrific, yeah. Terrific. Yeah, yeah. So this is really exciting listening to you guys talk, because you're really trying to reach the community.
And you're a part of Kauai Peace and Social Justice also,
Which the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice. We do, all these kinds of things, and especially, we deal a lot with supporting Hawaiians that are getting screwed over, and we talk about anti-war issues, and we talk about workers getting screwed over, all that kind of stuff, yeah. And it's important that we unite and stick together, and I guess we feel part of this Ohana as well, and we're going to be there, But I want to thank all you guys in there for organizing this thing and really making a good effort in reaching the working people of Kauai, because once we reach the working class, that'll be really good in making these changes.
And
if
you could thank the union, because the union is really backing up all, we all have these same needs and the same ideas. And so, and I want to just again acknowledge Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice because they've been very instrumental in backing up the Public Land Development Corporation. Also, even, the repealing of the Public Land Development Corporation.
Yeah,
did the Kauai Business Association. And I want to say that the Wailua Kapa'a Neighborhood Association also has been very, very active in political change.
Well, I wanted to mention one thing. I heard you on Antinani's show yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about atrazine, yeah? And that's the best explanation I ever did hear about it. If you can write that down and get it out to people, that we can, we can explain stuff like this to our families, yeah? What's in the water and stuff, so they can understand what this issue is all about, Because it's not just about, Howley's talking about the environment. This is about everybody, local people, Hawaiians, everybody is getting affected. And it's important that we educate people about these issues. So thank you for giving me the time.
Thank you.
And I want to say the
Garden Island had a great article today, too.
Yeah, 6:30 tomorrow, Friday night at the Kapaa Public Library. It's free. Come and we can watch a movie and talk story. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Aloha.
Mahalo,
Ray.
Aloha. Okay, and we have another person who's been very patient for a very long time. So aloha, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say that in spite of our marching and coming together, we're dealing with corporations that have the rights that people have now, even though they don't die and they don't get sick. And I think we're probably dealing with laws. I think that, I don't know, Ken, I think we need some people who, some lawyers who have experience with corporate law who can tell us what our rights are and what their rights are.
I think that
can they be charged with murder? Can they be charged with manslaughter?
Oh, the GMO industry?
Well, and corporations. We're dealing with corporations.
Personally, I think they should be held liable to the same extent. If they're given the same rights, they should be held liable in the same way.
Well, it's whatever we think it should be and what it actually is. And I think we need to find out what it actually is, because they don't care if you're sick. And they don't care if your island is no longer beautiful.
Well, I think that we have seen that they literally do get away with murder and grand-scale theft. Dustin, what was the name of the activist in Paraguay who was murdered this week? Just shot out pretty clearly by the Monsanto henchmen?
Benjamin Lascano.
Yeah.
He was the biggest activist against the biotech GMO industry in Uruguay, was it?
Paraguay.
So he must have been making a difference, and so
he was making a huge difference, and two guys pulled up to his house and shot him to death. And, you know, it's the same cycle going on around the world with people who are active against these biotech companies. You know, they own such...
Well, here's the deal that we're dealing with. In Germany, in Europe, the president's got rid of this kind of thing.
Well, in Iran, they just hung five bankers they were guilty and hung in the week. That happened this month.
I just don't see it happening here. But wait a minute, what was I?
One thing I had to say...
I forgot what I was going to say, but go ahead.
You were saying, you know, like, we need to find more lawyers and stuff to target this, which is true. But I think until we get a large number of supporters behind what we're trying to accomplish, it's pretty hard to do. I mean, Professor Tyrone Hayes was even had proof of how Syngenta was tapping his phone, reading all of his emails. They had even hired someone to try and... find out what type of person he is, just like going through all of the things that they could find on him to see how they could target him. So it's it's almost kind of dangerous to go out by yourself and to attack the companies. That's why you kind of need a giant populist support, I would say.
Well, here's the problem that we have. Our president appointed GMO person to the FDA.
Michael Taylor.
The presidents appoint people who further their agenda. Okay? It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. He put the person in there that he wanted to have in there, and he knows his views.
Well, we're having a situation like that here in Water Commission in Hawaii, where the person being appointed to pick who goes on the Water Commission is a Monsanto person.
Yes.
I know you've held for a long time, and I've got somebody holding from Australia.
Go ahead and take them.
Okay, but thank you for the point that you're making.
Okay.
Thank you.
Aloha. Aloha. God bless you.
Aloha, you're on the air?
Yeah, hi, Felicia. How are you?
Good. Thanks for holding. Yep, how are you?
You're good. Hey, Felicia, I listened to your show, and I just want to tell you what happened back in the 1950s, the British government held nuclear tests in Australia, in Maralinga in South Australia, in the Montebello Islands in Western Australia, and some families still suffering today from it. Some of their children have leukemia, there's a lot of kids with leukemia, deformed kids, and this they've got a damaged gene, so this is going to get passed down forever, for every generation forever.
We have a similar situation with the Marshallese Island. And Tintin, your mom is Marshallese, yeah?
My mom is Kushrine.
You don't... Okay. Who knows what's going to happen down the track with these chemicals, these herbicides and these pesticides you've got now. It might not be your children, but it could be their children or their children after. And we've had a lot of problems here because of these, something that happened 60 years ago. We've still got them now. There are a lot of families here that are very sad now because their children are either sick or maybe deformed because of they're exposed to something that's not normal.
So they were exposed well before
the
they were born.
Over, the British had white suits on and breathing apparatus, and the Australians had a pair of shorts and a T-shirt on. It was on Australian 60 Minutes.
Yeah, and just last year, g'day mate too, how you going? I heard last year that they made an agreement with China because Australia is actually the largest exporter of, nuclear, the makeup
uranium,
of it all, and the finding of uranium, is the largest there. And they made a deal with China that they'd send it all to China, but the Chinese would only take our uranium if we would take the waste back. So now Australia takes the waste back from China. So they send their uranium to China so that they can use them in the nuclear facilities, and then we take their uranium back and bury it in the desert. Or the radioactive waste.
In their air's rock, yeah.
It's horrible. It's very sad.
Yeah. Well, I can't help what the government does here, but...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but I just hope, I hope you guys win because... It's maybe not your children, but maybe your grandchildren or their children. They could have problems, every time I see a handicapped child, I have a tear in my eye.
That's really heart wrenching. My heart goes out to all those families.
Yeah, and well, it happens everywhere. Not everywhere, but it happens. So let's hope that you guys win.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting us from across the sea.
Okay, across the pond.
Across the pond.
Yeah, all right. Aloha, mate.
Aloha.
Aloha, mate.
Mahalo.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, a lot of things. Hey, I had a question, and we've had a bunch of calls come in that I'll have to address also, but one specifically for you, Eli, was, do you know something about... EPA genetics, have you learned about that? That's I guess that's a medical thing. All right.
EPA, what does EPA stand for?
Or maybe it was EPA genetics. Neil, if you're listening, you can call back in. You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. I want to move on for just a little bit here to KIUC. And thank you, Carol, for being in here. And I would like to also be soliciting questions for this candidate forum tomorrow. And so if people have questions, they should be sending them to KIUCcandidatequestions@gmail.com. The people putting it on, I believe, is the Chamber of Commerce, and they're asking for that. Carol, you're listening to what we're speaking of is all these environmental and damaging elements that are out there. With KIUC, you've been in there now for 6 years. How is the consciousness towards being aware of what their impacts are? I mean, when you're, is it pretty good?
If you're referring to the impact of fossil fuel and CO2, yes, fossil fuel is a hazard. Yeah, it's a cancer. You do not want to breathe.
And they're obviously, wherever it's extracted from. I guess, I'm just going to, since I got the mic here for a moment, my biggest number one question out of all the candidates, so I'm just going to point it right at you, is how do we make the cooperative really more cooperative? What I think has been frustrating to me, both as a programmer who sits here in the hot spot and hears like what people are concerned about, how do we help? Do you see what vision do you see how the board can help KIUC query the membership ahead of making large strategic decisions instead of already have signed a contract, already have the smart meter sitting in the warehouse?
And more two-way communications.
Two-way, but proactive two-way communication, asking beforehand.
Well, what I see going on from what our staff and our board, they want to make sure that that the plan is fully thought through before we just helter-skelter, let's, you know, tell, because there'll be a lot of questions. So we do want to make sure that before we say cite a generator, that we've thoroughly thought it through.
Right? But what about if you were to ask questions and even have like almost like a survey environment on where it says, we've been offered a grant for smart meters for X amount of dollars, and we are very excited about the capacity this has. Here's what we're looking at. Put that out there and say, you know, we want to hear your feedback.
In that particular one, I can see definitely both sides. We were given a grant with a deadline. Do you have so many days in which to apply. Do you want to apply for it or not? And, you know, should we do what it, I guess it amounts to a survey, a community survey first? At that point, you know, the staff kind of looked at the pros and cons and decided, well, 50% of the cost is going to be paid for by the grant. Let's go ahead and take. And they, what the staff looks at is, look, the board is elected. Let's poll the board. And they feel that's democratic. Now, I agree with you. Some of these larger issues that are ahead of us.
I consider that one a large issue.
Diverse.
Me too.
Choosing all the diverse sources of where our power is going to come from in the future. Should we have a community-wide meeting and discuss all the options?
Absolutely.
And strategically, where are we going to choose? Where are those going to come from? You know, open it up and have like a big strategic plan.
Well,
meeting.
I think what you can do, this is just some ideas I have, is that you have a website or, you know, you put it out in the Currents magazine. We're lucky we have the Currents magazine. It can be, some of it can be written for people who aren't, you know, web people. It can be on web with links for people to be sitting there putting it in there. We're in this time of social networking where so much knowledge is being shared.
Use it as a tool
and actually ask us, because like when we look at the smart meters and they go, all right, well, we get 50% paid for it, it's a good deal. Well, these smart meters, they only last about 6 to 8 years. You know, they got the chips in them, and it just about anything, your stereo, your computer, and I don't want to buy a washing machine that's got the kind in it, because it all...
Technology gets old.
It gets old, and we're like living on a boat, you know, and it's that it gets corroded from the salt, and you buy a washing machine, and it lasts 3 years because the chip goes bad. And so when we see that we are replacing these units a lot, as opposed to the analog meters that sit there and last for 40 years, you know?
I personally would like a broader discussion. I think that, yeah, all we're stronger if we have let everyone engage and having input in. Then we have better energy solutions. There's some really bright ideas that somebody may have overlooked. So why not open up the discussion?
I want to ask the room here, show of hands, like I have gotten my ballot. Who has gotten a ballot?
I just got mine today.
Did you get one, Eric? You don't know. Then you didn't get one. Not everybody gets to vote. Dustin, do you get to vote?
Do you I get think
a,
so.
If you
well,
have
do you
an
have
account.
A ballot? Do you
no,
have
I didn't
an
get
account?
A ballot yet, no.
You didn't?
No.
I never checked the mail.
Okay, you better check the mail.
I got a ballot.
If you pay a bill.
If you pay a bill, who in this room has their name on the electric bill?
My wife's name is on my electric bill.
Okay.
My wife's name on the electric
then
bill.
Then you can dialogue and.
Okay,
that's
so.
Why.
Okay, so.
I rent.
No, if you rent, you still get one.
Well, oh, yeah. I mean, it depends if you pay your electric bill.
I signed the paper not to have a meter I put on my house. Though.
But you still get a bill, though.
Yeah.
Well,
you still
get a vote.
If you pay the bill, and so like houses that there's a whole concentration of people in it, you know, maybe only one person votes for that bill. You know, I think that more people should be able to vote. But if people have a vote, and so people who are out there listening, in the past, like the most record number of votes ever turned in was 8,000, and there's somewhere upwards of
about 30,000.
Around 30,000.
So it's about a 30% return, which, you know, are a little.
A very low voter rate.
So we would like a higher return on that. It would be. Yeah, we'd like 100% return.
So when people don't bother to vote, I sort of get why the board or the organization says, hey, they're not even voting for the board, they're not going to pay attention. But I think that we're seeing a really big change this year. And I'm looking around the room, and I've actually, except for you, known almost everybody in childhood. And so we got a pretty young room here.
I hope everyone does vote.
Our politicians have been making such bad choices for our health lately that it's really, we got to thank them because they have just woken us all up to start. Now we're listening to what's going on in our legislature. And these are things I never really even cared about. And a lot of people in Hawaii don't because we're so worried about just our day-to-day lives.
How are you going to pay the
bills?
But
now that these choices are putting our families and friends and our people's land and everything jeopardizing all that. It's starting to wake everybody up to start get active and start learning, you know.
If you don't get politics, will get you.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems that if all these
get informed,
they've been
vote.
Taking advantage of us for years, and we've kind of hit a point where we're just like, you know, we're in a point of consciousness where we're starting to learn what's going on. You know what I mean?
And I do want people, members, and anyone, whether you're a member or not, to talk to me if you have an idea. Would you like to see something improved? About energy, you know, self-reliance, sustainable living. It's important. I'm fully aware that food and energy, we're on an island. It all matters.
Yeah, it all matters, and they all these things converge. What was our word again, Fern? Pertinent?
Potentiation.
Potentiation. All this is potentiation. And I want to say I am so stoked and not surprised at the level of intelligence and capacity for a quick uptake in learning. I know for myself, I haven't ever even looked at the legislative process at the state level until this season. And oh my gosh, I feel like I've just been doing immersion on civics, you know, and we all can do it, and we all are doing it.
It's crazy because, you know, so many people thought 2012 was the end of the world, and this, you know, but a lot of old prophecies said it was the time of consciousness, and it's kind of crazy because we're coming into this time where everybody's starting to learn what's going on in our world, and everybody's starting to form this group of consciousness, and it's crazy because these Indians and these old thousands of year old prophecies are starting to almost come, you know, they're coming into action. It's a beautiful thing.
I mean, if you'd looked at the GMO sine waving that had happened a year ago and compare it to this year, we had at least doubled the amount of people that are on the side of the road waving signs to get other people's attention.
So, I would say quadrupled.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't want to shoot too high, but yeah, it's exactly it. We have so many people that are starting to wake up to all the poisons in their land and realize that it's up to them to kind of get their voice out. And also, I just wanted to say one caller had asked about another way to bring down the corporations, and it's about every single thing that we buy. If you don't want to support these corporations, don't buy genetically modified foods. Buy organic. Buy local. Support your local dollar.
Farmers markets,
and also, like, what we are going to start doing here is community gardens.
Right. 11:30 at the Hyatt, too, for the caller who just asked when and where. 11:30 at the Hyatt in Poipu. Community gardens, which segues a little bit into Regenerations Botanical Seed and Plant Exchange. Y'all are going to be there. All this group is going to be there. It's like a plant potluck. And there will be food to be eaten there, and people will be able to taste what food that is all Kauai-grown food tastes like. People should bring their own plates and forks if they do anything like that.
But here we have, you know, community radio, and you're all hearing about more PV on the system. And you know we have open public meetings. You're getting a ballot. And this is an electric cooperative, one member, one vote. We're not a corporation. It's a cooperative utility. This is an organization that people can participate in. You can run locally, get on the board. You have, you know, people that are running right now. So how can we, you say, let's allow the cooperative to be more interactive. What ideas do you have to have KIUC be a community more cooperative for you? What would you like
it
to see?
It needs to be a two-way street. I voted for Obama the first time he ran in 2008, and ever since then, they have never responded to a single email that I've sent to Obama administration, and yet they send me one every week asking for $25. Mm-hmm. I have never donated again. The first time I donated $100. If there's not two-way communication, we the people are over it.
So have you sent one to the KIUC or me as a board member? If so, I would reply.
Well, for example, Free Flow Power came on the scene, and I don't believe, they probably put out a one-page statement in the newspaper, but I heard nothing about it, and then all of a sudden they're the ones that have a contract. And so for me, that's like, wow, let's talk about hydro first before you sign a contract with a company like Free
Flow
Power.
They're doing the site work, but no ground has been turned over.
But you guys have plans in place without letting any of the public know what your plans are.
Well, okay, so what you consider dialogue is that you would like to hire and fire and make the contract decisions?
I would like to know what you guys are planning.
Nothing is planned yet. We're going to have environmental impact statements.
I saw on the website 6 different hydro plans on different parts of the island.
The sites are still being determined.
What I think you're saying is, he's saying something is being planned. Yeah. Nothing has been decided is
correct.
What you're saying.
You're going to have public meetings.
So I think that, like, he's saying the same thing.
But what about
Free
Flow? They seem to already have the contract in place.
Well, I want to speak to that one for a moment, too, because what even, like, the programmers here at KIUC was telling, I mean, the KKCR was telling KIUC, because I was in the show, is Free Flow Power got our FERC permit before they even met KIUC. That it was a premeditated, I feel like it was wrong, and they duped our good power people, and they came in, they did an end run around the team here, and so KOUC, good people running a little power plant, they don't know the games of the United Bank of Switzerland. Fortunately, we have programmers like Scott Majoris, if you're listening, mahalo, 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 who knows about looking at derivatives and energy derivatives, and he saw that United Bank of Switzerland was speculating on our power before even a contract was really signed. And not just ours, but like on 150 other rural electric places, you know. They play these big games, and we're like commodities. And so when you have good folks that are, you know, join the local power company, maybe they just don't know, you know. Maybe they just don't know. The same happens at our governments. It's still just people, but we are cooperative. I'm saying we. I'm a member of KIUC. We, as a KIUC members, we need the entire cooperative to be akamai and pay attention to all these little vectors that are coming at our community, because what I feel like is happening at a faster and faster rate is everything has become a commodity. Everything is an opportunity to make money, whether it's water or air or life or food or energy.
Speaking of commodities, we're burning 16 million gallons of diesel every year. And thanks to having solar, that's 3 million gallons less that we'll be burning if we get hydro. If the community wants it, then we'll have hydro. If the community doesn't want it, we'll keep burning fossil fuels, unfortunately. But I would rather have some discussion about should we or should we not.
My main thing about hydro would be it should always belong to us. It's our water.
It's shared
our land,
water.
And it should be our hydro plant. It shouldn't be contracted to anyone but us.
Is this
and
the well?
Water is shared.
No, this is hydro plant on every single river on our island. They have a shared idea to do a possible hydro. Every river. And I just feel like they need to reach out to us more before they sign contracts with a specific company.
From somebody outside your point of view who doesn't know all the facts, but seems to be a lot of weird things going on with our water right now. You know, this well, then the water board, Monsanto lobbyists in the water, and it seems like, you know, they're working on the food side pulling down the food. We're going to own all the seeds. We're going to own all the land, doing the food. So here they're pushing for the water. So they're working. They got the Monsanto lobbyists in our water. They're doing this well into our middle of our, the heart of our island, where Kauai is a, it's a natural spring. From the top, it springs out. We have fresh drinking water all over the island. When you tap into something that naturally flows freely through the island and makes all water work on the island,
the main
source. I think it's a real scary thing, and it's almost, it's a gamble to tap into our natural spring. And, you know, there's all this water, water, water. You know, we got a lot of water on this island. We don't need to be killing or detrimenting or
messing around
with the natural flow of our spring, because first and foremost, our island is a spring. Waialeale is one of the wettest spots on Earth. It's a natural spring. It's a swamp that flows through the island, and it's almost like a human. When you see the cells and everything flows, that's the same thing like our island. And what happens when you put a, you know, a bullet or a hole through somebody?
The drain,
it doesn't
out,
flow.
The blood,
it doesn't
flows
flow
out.
And it doesn't take a scientist to figure this stuff out. I'm a surfer who dropped out of high school, and I can see the bigger picture of what could happen. And you know, it doesn't take science. It's a spring. The island's a spring, and it's like a body. And I mean, I don't have much more to say about it. But
it's pretty much common sense. You mess with the water, and there goes the whole life of the island.
You know, exactly. From an unbiased point of view, I've seen some amazing things done with hydropower. Like the Japanese have just done some truly amazing things with it. But also, if you look at humanity from a map, you know, just look at it from like a Google Maps or anything, you see anywhere where there's a lot of civilization, the land has been completely changed. And as Dustin said, you know, it's kind of a gamble to bring anything of our civilization, this modern civilization, into the heart of this beautiful island. You know, if you look at Kauai as a whole, you know, we only have that 2-3% outer rim of the island. And if it were a fruit, we haven't even touched the inner parts of the island, and it's still an amazingly beautiful place. You know, we can do some amazing things with hydropower, but at the same time, we're doing this gamble where we could possibly destroy or even damage the inner parts of the island. And I don't know, you know, with everything I've seen so far, it's a pretty risky gamble, I would say.
My biggest concern is any sort of ownership of the water, or giving a contract out to someone who has the rights to the water besides we the people. That's my biggest
issue.
People
of Hawaii should have the
and
rights.
And so I'm
to
not
that.
Against hydro. I think hydro has great potential, as Eric was saying. What I'm against is the privatization of our natural resources. That's what I'm against.
No, I think the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, they will have a lot of say. And there's very strong water code that's in place. There's plenty of protection. The DHHL, the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, there's going to be plenty of process there to make sure no privatization is occurring that I'm aware of.
But and what about having a Monsanto lobbyist sit on the nominating committee for our water commission?
Well, yeah, you're talking about a whole other
I'm talking
project.
About water. You're saying it's safe. It's being watched after. I'm saying no, it's not. It's being bought.
You're talking about that. That is another. That's that.
I'm saying our water is presently being bought by corporations. Is what I'm saying.
For the appointment by the governor.
Yeah. So I mean, and that's. I think actually we're hitting the real big shift in awareness here. Is that our dominant culture has compartmentalized almost everything. So when we look at a profit-driven motive or an economics that's built on profit, and we look at one piece of thing like food, or just like we were saying, the FDA only looks at a drug in isolation. When we look at everything in isolation, we can find a reason that it's okay for each thing. And what I feel like I'm hearing Eli say, and you can correct me here, is we have to look at everything comprehensively. And so this pulls into what Dr. Lauren Pang talked about, the combined effect. So when we are looking at water as a resource for really we have to have fresh water go out onto the reef. If we're looking at it in the awais, if we're looking at its power generation, as we're looking at it as what we drink, well, it has to be handled actually much more like Ahupua'a style, like the Hawaiian style. Mm-hmm. And what Walter Riddy said that I felt was so powerful in that presentation is it is our kuleana. And if we move here, whether we are Kanaka by birth or not, it is our kuleana on an island to take care of the land.
Thank you. That's
for
that's
the future
so right.
generations. Yes.
For the future generations.
For the generations to come.
That's why Uncle Walter,
who's an awesome man,
everybody can relate to him who's from Hawaii, because mm-hmm. everything he says
connects with the people,
revolves around us, and everything he says is stuff that we can relate to and we feel, and it's so important. And everything he speaks about aloha aina, and it's all about loving the land, and the land loves you back, you know, and it's a mutual respect. We're not respecting our aina.
Yes.
And that's why we're getting these staph infections, and that's why we're getting all these new diseases. We need to start loving our island and loving our water and loving everything before it's too late, before there's no love in our land left for us.
That's right. And Tintin, you make a comment, and then I want to give Carol, when you're done, mm-hmm. a good 2 or 3 minutes just to say your piece of why you're running for office. Then we're all going to say aloha. So Tintin.
All right, I just wanted to say this out, and you know, the Hawaiians believe that no one owned the land. We are just stewards of the land, and we're here to perpetuate and to care for the land. So I feel that that's the way, that's where I want to be, and I want to represent, I want to be a steward of the land for the people of Hawaii and for the Kamali'i.
Carol?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I know we're at the end of the program. I am one of the candidates that's running. March 23rd is the day of the election, so if you did get your ballot, that's good. Be looking for it. Our island community is facing many challenges, including the need for greater food and energy self-reliance, and reducing our fossil fuel dependence will allow greater control over the cost of electricity. Now, we're fortunate to have resources to consider on Kauai. Of course, we've mentioned some of them. We have sun and we have water. We do have to plan and act wisely. And I would like to have a broader discussion and invite everyone's ideas. And often you bring everyone into the room and you end up with a lot of questions and good ideas. And the immediate answer isn't going to be right there. But what we do know is to sit idle is not the right choice. To sit idle is the wrong choice, because we're burning fossil fuels. We're very dependent. We're adding to the CO2 emissions. We're adding to global warming, and we're witnessing the problems there. So creating energy solutions involves asking hard questions, involving all of us. We want to develop good policy, and we want to have careful oversight. So I would like you to engage with all of the in the forums that are ahead. There's one on Wednesday night, and you've mentioned that's at the Kilauea.
It's at the Church of Pacific.
Church of Pacific.
Yeah.
And then the following Wednesday, it's Waimea Neighborhood Center.
Okay.
6 to 8 p.m.
And do you have any, fundraisers? I have another note here from a caller to say that Jonathan Jay is having a meet and greet at 7 o'clock at the Princeville Neighborhood Center. Do you have any kind of...
I didn't think we could actually announce things like that.
You can.
No, I'm simply encouraging...
Okay.
People to become more informed and come to these forums.
And come to the march on the 9th, come to the seed exchange on the 17th, and you will meet and have a great chance to talk to plenty of people. We're going to go around the room. Carol, thank you so much for what you shared.
Thank you, and thanks. It's been great meeting you all.
Thank you.
Okay, and Eric?
I guess I'll start it off. I just want to say thank you to all the guests that we had in today. You know, we had another full show, and we're taking care of as many callers as we can. So I apologize to some of the callers who's I wasn't able to answer every question or put up all their statements. But, you know, we have a full show next time, so call in and we'll continue the topics. But to bring it back here, thank you guys all for coming in and great topics talked about. Thank you for listening.
Right on. Just want to thank everybody for listening in today, wherever you are. You know, there's always good things to be heard on this station, so, you know, spread the word and let's build the listeners up, because the issues we talk about are some of the most important for our island and Hawaii. But just want to encourage everybody to come down, all the local people. We're all coming together. March in March, Poipu, Saturday. 12 o'clock, we're meeting down by Mahalapu Road right above the Hyatt Resort. We're going to march through town. We're marching for the future of our island. We're marching for the future of our kids. And we're marching for the future of everything we love. You know, being from Kauai, we all just, you know, we feel the mana, the energy that this island provides us. And, you know, we're coming together as all colors, all types of people. Local people, Haole people, white people, visitors, you know, we're all coming together as one, and we want our voice to be heard around the world. Kauai's the unconquered. Let's keep it that way. Everybody come down. Thank you very much. Aloha.
Fern?
I thank you all for listening and for caring and for being involved. And I want to say one thing. I want to pull it back to the 2,100 acres that was you know, going up for the planting of those eucalypt trees or whatever. That meeting is in Anahola Clubhouse this Friday between 6 and 8. So anybody that's interested in that, you know, feel free to come down. And I just want to echo Dustin, please, wider community, this is really the time we're looking for numbers. We're looking for solidarity. This is going to make a really big impression. And the more people that we have, if you can get somebody to cover your shift, do it. And if you can bring the kids and you can pick up hitchhikers on the way, whatever you can do to bring as many people down there, we really need
for Saturday
to show Saturday. Yep. You know, between 11:30 and 12, we're all going to be gathering there for a start at 12. So be there and bring as many people as you can. And yeah, I look forward to seeing you all and marching with you for a better Hawaii.
And Eli, new father-to-be, any day now? You might be busy.
I was just checking my text messages to see if any action is happening right now.
So, Eli, and with love to your new baby son and your wife, do you have an aloha message?
Yes, I do. The reason why we're all doing this is it's for our kids. It's for our families. That's what we do here in Hawaii. We hang out with our families. We hang out together as an ohana. And one by one, each of us can make a difference. And that's really what it takes. To all our listeners out there, you listening, you are the person that will make the difference. So, yeah, please come out and join us on March 9th and get involved in any way you can on a local level.
One more thing I wanted to add about the march is we're trying to get some buses to provide rides for, you know, the kupunas, older people, anybody who doesn't feel like walking back to their cars. It's something we're really trying to work on right now and providing, you know, running a classy ship and getting everybody comfortable and thanking them for coming out.
So what's the contact?
Support.
How do they get a hold of Kauai, Ohana o Kauai?
You can email us at ohanaokauai@hotmail.com, and that's all one word, all lowercase.
And no okinas.
No okinas. ohanaokauai@hotmail.com. You can email us there for any inquiry.
Okay, and you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Kirk Smart with History of Jazz is here, and he's showing us a little aloha, giving us a minute or two. Tintin?
Yes, I just want to say thank you very much for listening to the show, and just come out this Saturday, support Kauai. This is we're all in this together, and there's no more divided south side, north shore. This is Kauai. We're all here together as one. Let's unite and make a change, and let our voices be heard. Come and support us. Hawaiian people, get involved. Bring your families out. We love you. Aloha.
Okay, and this is Felicia. I love you all. And I have so much gratitude to our listeners that really build this show, and we're becoming empowered together. Carol Bain, thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Aloha.
Aloha. And Kirk Smart, I'm going to play the County Council report, and you're on.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Have a good night.